And we're back. First and now, we missed you. We trust that you missed us too, Matt Baker, Jamie Cartmell. Jamie, how are you?
I'm well. I didn't miss it at all. I'm forced against my will to do this.
Well, I mean, you know, we had to drag you in here kicking and screaming, and, you know, we had to take you away from the treadmill and the suntanning and the trails and the, you know...
And work, and getting actual work done.
Let's be serious here for one second. I know we like to joke on this show, but we were actually told by the powers that be that we were on gag order. We could not do another podcast until the BC Lions, your BC Lions... won a football game. Yikes. And one last second rouge later, here we are.
Back, yeah, thank goodness for that. It is good to be back. And like I said before to people in different meetings when they kept on asking, how come you guys haven't recorded a podcast? It's because I'm not throwing people under the bus, but I will. I don't know how to work any of this equipment. I can barely get my car started and get here on time. So I don't know how to record these things and edit it and this, that, and set up the mics. And so if people aren't going to set it up, then hey, I'm only as good as...
You're a pretty savvy guy. I see you set up the pipe and drape downstairs whenever we have a big press conference. Pipe.
That sounds like, you know, like in those 70s movies where they have, like, he's a second story guy. He's, you know, a safe cracker guy. Sure. That's good. I like that. He's a backdrop and pipe guy. Pipe and curtain guy.
That's just, that's, you know, me. That's where you get your brute strength.
I'm good. I'm good with setting stuff up. I'm not so good with other things people would probably tell you, but I'm good at setting stuff up. I can make it look good. I'm not saying it is good.
So the moral of the story is build the equipment and you will come. Is that the idea?
If you set it up and tell me what time to be there, I may show up. I'm here early enough, if God knows. So, yeah, just you, if you want to make it a regular thing, then you make it, or I don't mean you, you make it a regular thing, powers that be in the digital department. I'm just the media guy with no help. So yeah, I worry about my stuff. If you guys want some stuff done, then you got to come to
me. Okay, 1:30 again next Monday. Clear your damn schedule, okay?
Yes.
All right, get it. Put it in your egg timer, whatever.
Josh, producer Josh.
Yeah, our executive producer is—he's not doing a lot of executive producing these days. I can tell you that. Well, yes. Well, we're here. We're fresh off a 3-game stint on the road.
Yeah.
2-game trip for me because a lot has happened since we last did this.
That's right. I forgot you had Stephanie's child.
Yes, Stephanie did all the work. I just kind of stood there and watched game 7 of the Stanley Cup final, which we'll get into. Thank you. Feels good. And yes, Elizabeth Rose Baker going to be 1 month old later this week. In fact, time flies.
She will be resenting your presence before you know it. Oh. Trust me.
Yeah, you're at that stage. You're getting lots of eye rolls these days.
With two girls. It's hard to tell when their eyes don't lift off a phone, so if they're rolling them or not. But no, it's good. It goes by very quickly. I hate to be a cliche, but I was changing diapers not very long ago. Now they are getting their driver's licenses, and I'm seeing things in the laundry that no man should see. I can tell you that.
I think it was actually, in fact, I think it was Jamie Terrace in our office. He sent me a note of congratulations the next day, whenever it was, and he says, you know, enjoy these moments because before you know it, she'll be dating. So, I guess.
Yeah. I'm sure that's coming. My older daughter is, I think she's sort of boy crazy, but not one singular boy, but it's a lot of that guy's good looking, or leaving a parking lot of whatever the grocery store, that guy's good looking. Well, thanks for the update.
Well, one of your best tweets ever was, I think you sent a screenshot of a text conversation. Your girls were going on a plane or something. And
yes.
Was it your daughter Sydney said something like, cute guy next to me, it's going to be a great flight? Is that
right? Yes, that's right. They actually fly on their own on spring break. They've been doing that for 2 or 3. People think we're nuts, but it's not, you know, I think you have to do that with your kids. You got to sort of, you know,
set them free.
From here on in, I'll start giving you parenting advice. I'm sure you could use it. But yeah, they've been flying at spring break by themselves back to wherever they're, you know, where their grandparents are. And you just put them on a flight, tell them how it works, and it's not that tough. So equip your kids. Don't baby your kid. Don't baby your baby. Let her change her own diapers. Let her figure it out.
All right. I think I might do that tonight.
She soiled the diapers. She can change the diapers.
Yeah. No, started.
It's
yeah.
a lot of fun. And like I said to you before, you had your lovely daughter. There's always a reason why they're crying. Unless there's really something wrong with your kid, which there isn't. There's always a reason. Gas. Food.
Hungry.
Hungry.
Sometimes cold. They simply just want to be
yeah.
held. I find, too.
So there's always a reason. You don't have to rack your brain about it.
But yes, it is indeed a blessing. And as mentioned, she came into the world as the St. Louis Blues were parading around the ice with the Stanley Cup, Canada's team.
As someone predicted, you called it. I called the Blues. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny how the Stanley Cup playoffs get less interesting the further they go.
Well, it's true what they say. The first round is the best round. Yeah. It is. Now, part of that is you have multiple games
for sure
and everything. But
there's overtime. Yeah, but the further it went, and also
teams get tired, teams get banged up.
It is a battle of attrition. That seventh game just looked like a regular season game in the middle of the season. It was just two tired teams. You know, it was a very average hockey game. And that's kind of the inversely, the NBA, the first rounds are horrible. The later rounds, it's
mismatches.
Like every time someone's got a possession of the ball, it's drama. It's like late season baseball. Oh, they get a guy on. Oh my God, they walked him.
Yeah.
Oh, he's on second. Like it's just every pitch is drama, drama, drama. Everyday baseball is, you know, it's a pastime, not a sport. So, but yeah, it's kind of funny how the NBA gets more and more interesting with each round, whereas hockey seems to get sort of less and less interesting. And I guess it sort of demonstrates how much of a battle it is to get there.
What struck me, talking specifically about that cup final, is that momentum seemed to be non-existent.
You're right.
I mean, they split the first two games. Boston creams them 7-2 in game three, and they figure, okay, the Blues are done. You know, they had a good run. They can't possibly. But that goaltender, Jordan Binnington, every time in the playoffs he had a bad game, he seemed to bounce back from it. And then St. Louis, goes ahead 3-2, back home for game six. Brett Hall there, Jack, the crowd, having a good time.
And they lose. Okay, this is St. Louis, you think it's over. That was their one shot.
That was their shot. And then
it was like the bounce back series. It was interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's not that it's not interesting. It's just not real compelling play, if that's a thing. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, so congratulations to the St. Louis Blues.
And a nice touch by the Saskatchewan Roughriders to have those Saskatchewan guys lifting the cup prior to the game the other night.
Bozak, Shen, and drawing a blank on the third one.
And nice to see the Blues, their Twitter feed recognizing that and stuff. I mean, imagine that, a hockey team recognizing what a football team does.
It's a novel concept, is it not?
Who'd have thunk? Anyway.
Well, for Saskatchewan fans, that was probably the highlight of the night as they got Nick Arbuckled, so to speak. But
Yeah, funny.
we know firsthand in these offices how the Calgary Stampeders, what they're still capable of, and we will get into all things Lions. And and all kidding aside, now that we're back doing this with football games to talk about, there will be a lot more Lions content, and there will be before we're out of here in this episode. But and it's kind of a good segue, though, because we were in Toronto on the weekend for about 29 hours or however long we were there. And, I got to witness two bad baseball teams at the Rogers Centre on Friday night. Thanks to my buddy Jeremy with the Blue Jays for hooking us up with tickets. But not a lot of fans out at baseball games these days, because I think one reason, everyone was on Kawhi watch. And Jamie, we'll be telling our kids and our grandkids for years from now, we were in Toronto when Kawhi bolted in the middle of the night.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess if you're a Raptors fan, you have a championship. Please don't call it a chip. God, I can't stand any of that crap.
I've never heard that before.
Oh, he got us the chip. It's a great, hey, you know what?
That's the first I've heard of that.
That was a great apple. And how about the celly afterwards, and then they won the chip?
Yeah. Kids these days. Right?
Not even kids. I see it with some of the more senior people seeing it as saying that stuff as well. Oh, it drives me nuts. I can't stand that kind of vernacular. Stop it, all of you. I guess, if you're a fan, and, let's not forget, in order to have Maple Leaf season tickets when they moved to the ACC, you had to buy Raptors tickets. You couldn't just get Maple Leaf season tickets.
Is that a
fact?
Yes, okay.
It is an absolute fact. You had to buy Raptors season tickets to get your Maple Leaf season tickets. Anyway, so they've gone from that to winning, and winning does make you popular. So, but I'm guessing that most fans, the fans of the last 5 minutes, which most of them are, would probably concede that winning the championship is worth having your team, likely dismantled the next year. So
here's my big takeaway from Kawhi, and you mentioned bandwagon fans and all that. I mean, I saw a lot of people here in this market, some media members, won't mention names here, but saying, oh, this Raptors run, this is good for Vancouver. This improves Vancouver's chances of getting a team back.
If only Vancouver was called Seattle. But yes, yeah, you think they're going to put a team here before they put one back down there? Not a chance.
But this Kawhi Leonard thing, Jamie, just kind of brings my belief to even more light. A big reason I don't think we'll get a team back in our lifetime is players don't want to live in Canada.
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard didn't sign with the Raptors. He was traded to the Raptors, and now he left. He left a team that just won a championship. Now, and I'm sorry, I don't want to be that guy either, but it's true. They would have not beaten the Warriors at full strength. If you think they would have, you're drunk.
That's true.
But they won. I'm not saying that they didn't take advantage.
It's a championship
win. Yeah, they won a championship.
Sure.
And I think that the Warriors won their first championship against a pretty banged-up Cavaliers team. They also won two more after that.
Yeah.
So with and without Durant. So it's not the same team. They would have never beaten the Warriors at full strength. It would have never happened. Don't fool yourself. That's not an excuse. That's exactly reality.
It's the reason.
It is the reason why they won. It's the number one reason why they won. They were a bounce away from going into overtime against the Sixers two series prior to that, which they may have not even won in that series in the second round.
You have to have luck. You do.
You got to get some breaks. Luck. You got to have breaks, and you got to have health. And guess what the Warriors didn't have? They didn't get the breaks, and they didn't have health. Mm-hmm. And they still went six games. So, anyway, but you're right. They don't want to play in Canada for a number of reasons, probably one of which is the taxation. He's already, what that they're saying on that deal that he's signing with the Clippers, he's going to pay about 47% of his money straight to tax.
Back to the government, yeah.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, it's, sure, he was beloved and everything else, and I'm sure he appreciates that. I know he's a very weird dude, and he doesn't like attention and everything else. And, of course, if you don't want attention, then you probably should just go back to Los Angeles and play in a very small market with no real attention paid to you, which makes sense.
The other element, or one of my big takeaways, good for the Clippers. I mean, he could have gone to the Lakers, and you know, it's LeBron's team. They got Anthony Davis now, and, you know, it's clear he didn't want to be part of that. And, you know, the Lakers are obviously will be the number one brand there forever, but this is good for the LA Clippers too.
Well, very much so. I mean, it's sure. I mean, it makes them an immediate. Well, aren't they the number one team now to win the championship? I mean, in terms of the
odds-wise, I think I saw some odds at them.
So you're
at 4-1
or something. And sure, I mean, if you're a fan of the Clippers, you love that. I think it also it sort of brings parity. I mean, now you know. I would say this though, if I'm every league wants to be relevant when it's not playing, you know,
right?
In terms of its news. But I'm not sure if the NBA is, it's almost becoming, the champion is almost becoming irrelevant compared to what's going to be happening in the offseason, where everybody's going to go. This is more newsworthy in terms of where he went and where everybody else is ending up and Durant's decision to go to Brooklyn and everything else. That's becoming more newsworthy than your actual games and your season. And I'm not sure that's a good thing in the end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, it does create a little, you know, there's something to be said, I think, for interest in the summer. And, you know, everyone talks about how the NFL and the NHL, their popularity has grown because it's a year-round league.
Yes, absolutely.
In a sense. So, but it's good. I mean, it's good to have a team like the Clippers come onto the forefront and
sure.
be viewed as a contender. And hey, maybe keeping Kawhi Leonard in Toronto would have assured them of a much larger championship window, especially in an Eastern Conference that isn't exactly quite stacked. So.
Well, a year from now when Durant's full speed with Brooklyn, and Philadelphia's no slouch anymore either, and Milwaukee is still right there. They didn't really haven't fallen back. So I think there's parity in both conferences, and I think it's going to be, you know, the playoffs will be compelling as they always are in the NBA, but I don't think anybody has got a straight line to a championship at this point.
It is First and Now. He is Jamie Cartmell. I'm Matt Baker. We are on Twitter at First and Now, at BakesTakes84 myself. He is at Sweet Jimmy C. And yes, you've been craving it. Talk some Lions football before we're out of here. BC Lions and Edmonton Eskimos this Thursday night. Tickets at bclions.com. Jamie Cartmell has his cowboy boots, his hat, his chaps, his leather all ready to go. It's Western night.
I caught Sydney listening to country music 2 years ago at Christmas. Almost canceled Christmas, but hey, if you like it, give her.
I will say this. Not a big country music guy, but if I'm out at the bar, I'm having a couple, I'm with my buddies, and some country music comes on, I'm into it. We were I was down in Phoenix not too long after we recorded our last episode, in fact, in April, and we ended up at some country place and got in on a little bit of lion dancing. It was fun.
I will say this, there's probably no genre of music where the artists are more loyal to their fans.
Sure. Yeah.
I'll say that. And second to that would probably be heavy metal. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Everyone else is kind of, you know, canceling concerts here and there and rescheduling tours and stuff like that. But country music, I will say that there's probably no more, there's not a group of artists that's more loyal to their fans than country music fans. I will give them the benefit of that. See, I'm a balanced
you
person.
Are. You approach it with an open mind. Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm the king of open minds.
And as mentioned, for these country music fans we speak of, it's Western night. Tim Hicks going to perform at halftime, part of the Thursday night football CFL concert series. So big matchup with the Eskimos. We'll get into that shortly. Can't afford to drop a season series at this point, I don't think. But little bounce in the step as we were hopping on the plane after Toronto on Saturday night, Jamie. Not the way you want to win a football game, per se, but no. A win's a win in the end.
Yeah, you're never going to, as they say, you're never going to judge a win. They don't ask you, all the cliches, they don't ask you how, they only ask you how many. And hey, if that's the difference between a home game or a playoff spot, or, you know, you never know how the season's going to go, then you're grateful for those wins. And they count, and you're right, it gets you off the schneid, is that what they call it? The schneid.
There's more of that lingo.
1-3, but yeah, we've dug a hole for ourselves, and we're going to have to get out of it. And it's not going to get easier. You're on a short week versus a team coming off a bye, a team that's playing, you know, well, and probably a team that's going to be a little prickly after a loss there. They probably felt like that's a game they could have won. They certainly produced enough offense to do so, and probably left some points on the field that they felt would have put them over the top in that game, but they didn't. And it's going to be a very interesting matchup on a short week for ourselves. But everyone's got to play on a short week. We just keep on seeing having to play teams that come off bye weeks. So,
yeah, Calgary 2 weeks ago, Edmonton this time, and they're going to be motivated. They probably felt they had a game in Winnipeg 2 weeks ago that was really there for the taking. Had to kick seven field goals for Sean White. So, yeah, no, it doesn't matter. You know, for all, say what you want about how it matters that you're playing good after Labor Day at the right time, and that's important. You know, 2 points or 2 points in the standings, and as mentioned, I mean, dropping one to Edmonton in week two, they really gotta look at that and, you know, get a first win against a Western opponent here.
And like you say, you do not want to drop a season series to a team. I mean, I don't think we go back and play them until October. So I
want to say Thanksgiving weekend there back at
Commonwealth. You want that game to mean a lot going back there. Mm-hmm. And you also, you know, I think you're going to trade. Well, as Travis has said in a couple of different interviews that I've heard him, and he says, you know, they're not quite on track for Grey Cup until they've gone 0-5, which is kind of funny. But
well,
you know,
thankfully we didn't get there.
It is an 18 game season. Last time I looked, so you do have time to sort of, you know, get it together, as they say. But let's face it, I mean, July 11th is just 2 months shy of actually being in training camp, and so these guys have been together for, you know, going into our eighth week. That's not a lot of time. It's not a lot of time with a new quarterback, a completely new receiving core. That's not excuses. That's the reality of football. And defenses are always ahead of offenses early in the season. And despite that, we've led three of the four games at the half, and the fourth game we were tied. So it's not like we don't come out ready to play. It's about, you know, I think as Clay would say, or Devon Claybrooks would say, you know, it's playing four quarters. Finishing, it's all those things, and it's like every team says, it's discipline, it's all those things. It's but there's some games we probably could have won out of the four that you know, a play here, a play there, but I'm sure every team says that. Toronto's probably saying that last week as well with us.
I was impressed. Argos led 3-0 after the first quarter. Those 3 points, the first opening quarter points the Lions we've allowed all year, so that tells you they've virtually been in all these games at halftime, or sometimes even going in late into the game. A couple bright spots for me, player-wise. Lamar Durant, he was kind of a guy you always figured he was capable of being a difference maker, being a big play guy. And heck, he was the outstanding Canadian in the Grey Cup last year for Calgary. Maybe overshadowed a little bit there, given the personnel they've had in Calgary for these last few years. But that's a guy, especially with Brian Burnham out. He's going to play against Edmonton this week for fans listening, wondering. But that's been a real bright spot for me.
Well, and credit to Lemar as well, playing in Brian's spot in Toronto too, and had, you know, a fantastic game. So, I mean, there's a lot of pressure to, you know, now he's not, you know, playing as far outside as he normally is.
Right.
He's playing that inside spot. And, yeah, I mean, both him and John were obviously the differences in that game. You know, some big catches, you know, to keep drives going, you know, to keep the, you know, keep first downs, keep the team at the very least flipping the field and stuff like that. But I think, you know, in talking to Devon even this morning, you know, Toronto was playing a lot of man defense in their first two games, and then all of a sudden they showed up against us and changed their scheme. Mm-hmm. They play a lot of zone. Now you're changing things on the fly. And I mean, that's why you're seeing not a lot of production in that first quarter. Now you got to change gears and go, okay, here's, and that's, and so now you're challenged by a number of things, okay? And these are not excuses. These are facts. We travel 5 hours by air the day before the game. We're getting in there around dinner time. They meet. They
adjusting get up the next to the time zone.
Adjusting to the time zone. It was what the Humidex, it was 36 above when we got there. Not that we're, you know, running around outside.
No.
Sticky. So you've traveled. You got fatigue. You get up the next day. Meet. Eat. Go to the game. The Humidex is now, what was it, 28 degrees at kickoff, and I think over 33 or 34 with the humidity. And you're playing against the home. Like, those are not easy circumstances to win. And that's why you'll never hear anybody in this building criticize a win. And that's a team that they're playing that's also obviously was an ofer and desperate to win as well. And we went in there and we beat them. I don't know why, if you're a fan, you're criticizing a win. Or if you're just a casual person watching or criticizing, you know, the Rouge or anything else, you're either not a very good, intelligent sports fan and don't know what you're talking about, because winning is not easy. It's not easy to win, and it's certainly not easy to win. We've traveled the most in this league, and we went in there three time zones away the night before the game, and we beat them.
I was talking, whether it was media guys here at practice throughout the week, some of our friends at the league who are based in Toronto at BMO Field before, during warm-ups. You know, all these people saying, oh, yeah, this is the week. You guys, this shouldn't be close tonight. This should be it. And I don't think so. I mean, you know, I don't want to sell our club short, but like you said, this was a Toronto team that was embarrassed their home opener. Embarrassed. And half of it was Ticat fans in there and, you know, Toronto attendance. That's another story for another day. But go into Saskatchewan, get blown out, come back after a weather delay. Don't erase what happened before that weather delay. These are professional athletes. And again, not meaning to sort of sell short what this Lions team is capable of. And I kind of had to say, well, you know, this game's not played on paper here. I mean, this is two teams that have playmakers. Last time I checked, that Argos roster still has guys like Darrell Walker,
SJ Green. Yeah.
I mean, James Wilder. Even McLeod Bethel Thompson, it's a quarterback who's come off the bench and won a couple big games. Us last year, big comeback against Ottawa, I think, the week before
It's professional football, as Neil McAvoy would tell you. It's a professional football, and they're professional football players. Yes. Most rosters are built basically the same. You know, I mean, it's a quarterback-driven league. We've got one of the best, yes. But you need to protect the quarterback. If the quarterback's not being protected, then you get what we had happen in Edmonton a few weeks back, where he sacked seven times, even with a lead at one point. Games turned very quickly. That was a 3-0 game that we tied up, went into halftime, came out, built a lead, and then almost gave up the lead. It can turn on you in seconds, because basically the players are very evenly matched all over the field. And it's a lot more even when you're on the field than what people think. You know, I mean, Saskatchewan's a very good example of that as well. Cody Fajardo, who was here last year and probably one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, he looks like, you know, the second coming of Russ Jackson out there, throwing for 400 yards and however many touchdowns 1 week. And then you are very suddenly humbled by a team who everybody thinks, well, no, they're not going to win because they're missing their quarterback. It's a quarterback-driven league, but it is more than the quarterback, and you've got to come ready to play every single game, or you will get beat.
18-17 was the final, and we know how it ended. Of course, speaking of reaction, you know, you see the odd naysayer about how, you know, you shouldn't get rewarded for missing a field goal, and how the rule. And I think even our friends at TSN 1040 this morning. That was the subject of their poll question. Should the CFL get rid of the single point, the rouge? I mean, hey, summertime, man. You got to move the meter in the summer, I guess. But no, I mean, I was talking about this with Ed Hervey this morning, kind of debriefing on the game and how it went down and how he's not apologizing for the win. Why should he? A win's a win. 18 is more than 17. There's been many examples of games over the years that have had single points that have been decided by a point or two. The only difference is it's not the last play of the game.
That's right. Isn't that what you call recency bias?
Of course. I was just about to say it.
Yeah, it's a very good point. You raise a very good point. I mean, you're right, and I think you even tweeted that. Like, you could miss three field goals in the game. You don't really think much about it.
Yeah.
Get three singles, win the game by two, and think, oh, okay, well, no one ever goes back and says, well, if they hadn't gotten those singles.
Like, yeah.
Listen, our brand of football is based very much on rugby. That's the essence. That's the origins of our game. And there are single points. I don't know all the rules of rugby. There's a lot of single points. Just like Australian rules has a single point. Of course, our game doesn't come from Australia.
I played rugby for a couple of years in high school. I never understood the rules. But that's besides the point. Yes.
But like you say, it's part of the game, and it's the rule. And you can, and if Rainey catches the ball without his foot on the line, which is kind of on him,
yeah,
then he probably runs it out, which is a good play by them. You've seen in the NFL teams who've missed field goals within the field of play and returned it for a touchdown. We get to see that too. That's part of our game. That's part of the rules of our game. It's not just a dead ball. So I don't know why it makes me wonder, like, just celebrate the win and move on. I mean, did we kick the field goal to play before it? I mean, that there's some inconsistencies occasionally in this league as well. I mean, last week in Calgary, Odell Willis gets called for an offside where he supposedly is inciting the movement of the offensive lineman. That's exactly what happened to our guy to Bozen on the end. The guy tries to make him flinch. He does, and we get a procedure call. So
that kick went through, I believe.
That kick was good. Yes,
penalty. Yeah.
Regardless of that, it's what difference does it make? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you said,
I don't know, it's what you say, I guess, low-hanging fruit, I guess, people who don't like the league or...
Well, they
feel it's one of those quirky rules. And again, I mean, some people don't like it because it rewards failure. I'm using air quotes here, and that's fair enough.
It's part of the game. If you don't like the game, I
guess... Over 100 years into this, I think.
God, they give Olympic gold medals out for breakaway contests. They give soccer...
Esports is going to be in the Olympics.
Seattle win an MLS championship without getting a shot on goal.
Yeah.
In the entire game, did not have a shot on goal, won it in a shootout.
Yeah.
For a championship. It's the fourth game of the regular season. Just celebrate the win, buy a ticket, and come and cheer for your team instead of criticizing a win or criticizing the way someone wears their hat.
If you're, well, hey, the social media team, trust me, that's something we deal with every day, but. Yeah, I mean, if you're concerned that the offensive line hasn't come as advertised, okay, fair enough. Yeah,
sure.
If you're concerned that, you know, the defense can't keep him out of the end zone inside a minute to go, sure, that's something that they're working on as we speak.
And do you not, it doesn't matter what the team is or what the sport is, do you think that that's not realized within the building or within the dressing room? You don't think that the guys who play defense came off the field after the Calgary game and said, shit, that one really got away with us, mm-hmm. on us, and that's on us. Of course they did. You don't think Mike and the guys said, hey, you know, we didn't do anything in the second half of the Edmonton game. That one's on us. Of course they do. Nobody, you don't think anybody in this building doesn't realize what, you know, why the game was won or why the game was lost? Of course they do. They don't need somebody on social media saying, thanks, Tips. We know.
Thanks, Tips.
Yeah, we know. They know.
As Aaron Grimes told me after, we won the effing game.
Yeah, and I think that's...
But that's not to say they're not going to work on those things. They have to be better against a good Edmonton team coming in. But
I think that goes back to what I said before, is winning is not easy. It's not easy. And it's something where they're grateful that having coming out of there with a victory, regardless of how it ended, they're grateful for the win, whether it's a game-winning touchdown or a game-winning field goal or, you know, a single off of a missed field goal. I mean, quite often you see punts where they go into the end zone and it's a single point. The team kicking the ball doesn't want that single point. They want that ball to roll out on the four. That's
field
position. When the punter comes off and he's angry that the ball went in the end zone for a single, we're not celebrating a single point. It's like, ugh, We would have much preferred that ball be put at the one instead of the ball coming out to the 35. So it's not like, you know, teams are celebrating single points.
Yeah.
In that particular case, it was a win. Enjoy the win.
I liked Mike Riley's reaction. Of course, it was a TSN live mic game, and watching the highlights on the bus afterwards, and you just hear Mike as he's walking off. Golly.
Yes.
Summed it up pretty good, I guess.
Well, it is. I mean, it's on us. I mean, yes, Devon, we don't make it easy for ourselves, and it's on us. We got to find ways to take control of games the way we have taken control of games and finish those games. It's all about finishing those games because, like I said before, we certainly have come out of the gates ready to play, and we've been competitive. It's just something seems to happen in, you know, whether it's the third or the fourth quarter where these games get tight for no real reason other than what it is that we're doing, dropping balls to not keep drives alive or taking a penalty on special teams, moving the ball up 15 yards. Or as Devon said today when he was doing a bit of television, just tackle the guy.
Form tackling, yep.
Just tackle the guy. So, but hey, I mean, there's two teams on the field and, you know, not unlike every other professional sport, life typically doesn't put you in a position where you are doing your job and someone is right across from you trying to prevent you from doing your job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're like you're doing some writing. It's not like I'm trying to grab the computer out of your hand to make it more challenging for you. There's someone lined up against you to try and prevent you from doing your job. Doesn't matter what the sport is. It's not easy to do it.
Bottom line, the squad is in the win column, and because of that, we were able to bring you this episode of First and Now. Again, Thursday night, encourage you to head to bclions.com, find some tickets, enjoy a Tim Hicks concert at halftime, and let's hope for a 60-minute effort this time around, Jamie.
That's right, yes. Support your local team. That was one of the other things that it's funny. We were talking about the Raptors, and someone, I don't know the tweet, but I thought it was a very interesting tweet, is that, you know, a nation will wrap itself in the flag for 10 Americans.
Guys who don't live here.
But will literally bend over backwards to criticize a league of Canadian teams built for the longest running Canadian championship that this country has known, and that are all half Canadian, that draws millions upon millions of viewers each week, and including a Grey Cup, which has tens of millions of viewers, and yet, you know, it has its struggles sometimes, but yet here's 10 Americans who are in our city for the next 15 minutes, who happened to win a basketball championship that we'd never won before. But yes, our Canadian strength comes through. Is it the united a nation? Stop it.
That was my favorite thing when the Raptors did win that night. One person I know tweeted something along the lines of, that's the greatest Canadian sports moment ever.
Stop it.
No, I remember being a kid and jumping on my grandmother's couch when Donovan Bailey won the gold in Atlanta. I mean,
I remember my dad telling me about...
Come on, give it a break. Give it a rest.
How about an entire country united against what they thought was a group of people who were going to end their lives, and the Russians and the Summit Series in 72. Mm. That was a way of life versus a way of life.
Yeah, well, obviously I wasn't here for that yet.
No.
But my dad tells the story. My dad tells a story about how they watched it in the high school gym.
The Russians came over here. They were basically an enigma. I was a toddler at the time, so I didn't know anything about it either. But you read about it. And that's what you should do, young people. Read.
Educate yourselves.
They came over here. They thought it was going to be a joke. These guys
were straight. They were supposed to win,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah. They thought they don't have the equipment. They don't have They schooled them for what, two or three games before they finally said, these guys are for real, and we better get our shit together.
They got booed off the ice here at the Pacific Coliseum.
That's right.
In
Phil
Vancouver.
Esposito. So yeah, that has a little bit more of a national feel, I think, if you ask people, than, like I say, Kawhi Leonard, who was in Toronto for 15 minutes and managed to put together a few games when he wasn't, you know. What was it? His load was being watched, whatever that means.
His load was being watched.
Yeah. He was on load watch. Only played, he got to sit out 22 games.
He played 62 games.
Load management. Yeah.
Load
sorry.
Management. Yes.
Yeah. When you get older, everything's load management, but that's a whole other story.
That's
anyway.
A whole, And
I'm not down on it.
I mean, for me, I mean, sorry, Canada beating the U.S. here in the Olympics. Salt Lake 2002, 50-year drought. I mean, sure. Yeah, I mean, and I got news for you, folks. If you're in Vancouver, wherever, and you cheer for the Raptors, fine. I don't care. But if we did have a team here, and the team here was going on a run, they ain't getting that excited in Toronto. I'm sorry.
No, they're not. Of course
anyway.
Not. Anyway. They could care less. Yeah, it's... Yeah, whatever. It's always so funny to me how hypocritical. I'm not sure. Hey, Americans wear it on their sleeves. You saw it in with the Women's World Cup and everything else.
Right.
They wear it on their sleeves. We are Americans. We're proud as hell. We don't care what you think.
We're running up the
scores. We're gonna run up the scores. Yeah. We'll celebrate this. They're not hypocrites. They are who they are.
Yeah.
I'll give them. You know, whether you like it or not, that's who they are. That's how they've always been. But we are the hypocrites. We're talking about how nationalistic we are and how proud we are of this and how proud we are of that. And let's wrap ourselves in the flag. Well, here's a league of Canadian teams and Canadian cities and who do a hell of a lot in these Canadian cities in terms of their community support than any of these other teams will do.
Community support, never saying no to a request interview-wise. Right. And just being good down-to-earth people. That's
maybe it's human nature. You don't realize what you have.
Sure.
Yeah. Maybe we are too available and too flexible and too nice and everything else. Maybe we should just be jerks to people and people will, you know. Yeah.
Maybe hey, that's how it's, we should. I'm glad we took that little hiatus because you came back with a little pepper in the soup. I like it.
Well, I'm not getting a lot of sleep lately. So
1:30 next Monday, okay?
Well, if it's set up, Matt, I'll be here. So we've gone, you know, close to 40 minutes now. I got lots of anger. We haven't even, I got lots of
Well, what are you angry about?
I'm not angry about anything. The weather's kind of, well... I know you said something about the weather.
Okay, I tweeted last week about, you know, summer's not here. And then, of course, I get all these guys, oh, man, think about the forest fires, man. Okay, yeah.
That's true. I'll trade off. The temperature is actually quite nice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not sunny, beaten down. It's actually, it's, you know what, I don't disagree with that. I'll take a little bit of, it doesn't have to be in the 30s for me. Sort of that mid-20s.
Yeah.
And you know what? If there was rain every fourth or fifth day just to keep things kind of settled down, I think that actually is perfect weather.
We talk about going to Toronto and being uncomfortable in,
oh boy.
in the humidity.
Yeah, that's a little tough. I mean, isn't it funny where, I mean, and Toronto, my God, that's a big town. Like just when you get on
those
freeways and it's 8 lanes wide and there's another one peeling off over there and peeling up. There's just, there's millions of people.
You feel like, I mean, you know, just.
It's a huge area.
I hopped in John Loban, Lowbrow as you call him, our video wizard. We hopped in an Uber to go downtown.
Uber? The Blue Jays What's game. That?
Yeah.
Is that a ride sharing?
Wow, interesting. I got dropped off right in front of the Rogers Center. And
imagine that.
Didn't have to give cash, anything. But just getting dropped off and, you know, the CN Tower's there. And then we hung around on Front Street for a bit after the ball game, waiting for the crowd to fizzle out and get a car back. You just feel like you're in a very big
metropolis. Yes, it just feels huge. Just
the
buildings
being so high and, as you say, the freeways.
Yes, the buildings are high, Matt.
The buildings are high, yeah.
Well, and how about this? We got a guy that comes up. Who he's an Associated Press freelance photographer
that
who
guy,
lives
David Derner.
That's right. He lives in Cleveland.
Cleveland.
He just loves our league. Imagine that, an American who loves our league. He comes up. He wants to shoot our games. He does it for free. We give him some gear, and he shoots the game and takes amazing pictures. In fact, all of our all the Argo pictures that we had were David's.
All the Gatorade and, shower stuff is courtesy of David Derner.
But. Within an 8 to 10 mile or 8 to 10 hour radius or southern radius of Toronto, just think of all the cities that there are. Think of all the sporting events you could go to. Think of all the cities there are within that drive. Like he drives up, what does he say, 6 or 7 hours from
6 hours
from Cleveland. And like, it's just amazing what is in and around that entire area. So my point was, I was going to say, is for such a huge population base, why would they continue to live in that god-awful humidity? You think they would start to move west and think, hey, there are some other developed cities, but isn't
sure
it...
There's people who say, how do people in Vancouver deal with the rain, right?
I love the rain, but...
To each their own, right? It's just, it's what you're used to if it's...
It's humid there in the winter, too. Minus 10 and humid in the east feels like minus 20 because it goes right through you. But it is incredibly... what it does to you there.
And yeah, well, John and I were there, I guess, in March for the combine, and winter wasn't quite over yet. And geez, you got to bundle up just to go walk 2 blocks outside the hotel.
Yeah, even Neil was saying when we were, because we had gone out for dinner, he was like, all these cars using all that gas. Like, he's like, there's so many people. Yeah. Like,
that's a pretty good real impression, actually.
Yeah. 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 No, it's very, very interesting to visit there. I always find Toronto very interesting. I find Hamilton very interesting. I think Hamilton gets kind of a bad rap, but even in Hamilton, it does feel like you are part of a very large surrounding area. I mean, obviously, they're not far from, you know, Niagara on the lake, which is beautiful, and you're not far off from Buffalo, and Buffalo's
St.
Northern
Catharines,
York.
Like, area.
It's a huge, huge area. And, well, I mean, Buffalo is just, you know, Burlington and all those things.
Burlington, we know Burlington.
Yeah,
well,
we know Burlington. Right? Yeah, I think they've called you you're the Baron of Burlington, aren't you still?
I'm the Baron of Burlington. Yeah.
Matt Baker, the Burlington Baron. Yeah,
I like that, actually.
It is very, very interesting to visit there. I mean, I don't think I'd want to live there. I'd like, you know, Vancouver's a big town in a sense too, but when you land at 3 o'clock in the morning like we did, and you make your way out to the eastern edge of the metro area, I didn't see a car past the Portman Bridge when I was driving home.
Sun was probably up by the time you rolled into the Alder Grove estate there.
There were, the compound, there were a few birds chirping. I thought, nice. Wow, this is it. Yeah, it's nice to charter. It's nice not to fly with the common folk and go through security.
You arrogant noble.
Oh, yeah. But isn't it the best though? You walk right onto the plane, walk off the plane.
We know all the flight attendants, all the crazy ones that make you take your earphones out.
Yes.
But we love them for it. We love Air North. And
10 stops onto the bus and away you go.
I'll tell you my one final nugget for me from this road trip. You know, saw a ball game, saw a big win for
us.
Yes,
I'll give Matt, people don't know this about Matt, but I give Matt full credit. We got to the hotel, it was about half an hour from the airport to the hotel.
6:03 we got to the hotel.
I changed and whatever. Neil's like, hey, let's go and have dinner. And I said, okay, let's go. So we walked over and then we went to a place called, you know, St. Louis Ribs, which I think they should expand out west. That's a good place to eat, St.
Louis
Ribs.
Well, next time we go to Mississauga, that's where I'll come.
I might look into a franchise opportunity and bring that out west. So I look up and they actually had the football game on, to their credit.
Winnipeg,
and
Ottawa.
Yeah, yeah, and they had the I saw that the Blue Jays game was already in the first inning. I thought, oh, Matt was going to go to that game. I said, did Matt make it to that game? And I texted you and you like sent me a picture. Like,
yeah,
there you were. I thought, I'll give Matt Baker credit. He does more on the road to go and see things and do things, whether he's by himself or with someone else. I'm done with that personally. I give you credit.
Well,
like,
you're
always going and doing stuff, which is
the lovely Karen Sermon from TSN 1040, sideline reporter, home and away. The 1040 folks, they're a little more sophisticated. They stayed downtown Toronto. So they hopped in a cab, and so she got there and she texted me, you gonna make it? I'm like, yeah, believe it or not, I'm walking in right now. And I had enough time to get myself a $14 Bud Light and was in my seat at 7:01 for a 7:07 first pitch after checking into the hotel at 6:03. So that was a good use of time.
Good for you. And I know that we're in Hamilton for the better part of a month, aren't we? We're there for a week, aren't we?
5 days.
5 days, because we play back-to-back out there. So you said the Yankees are in town?
Yeah, I believe we play in Hamilton on the Saturday, and so I'm guessing Sunday would essentially be a day off, right?
Yeah.
So we can go up and catch an afternoon game, perhaps.
Nice. We'll be...
Perhaps, maybe.
One of the 8,000 people at a Blue Jays game, sure.
Yeah, not much atmosphere in the old Rogers Center, like I was saying, but...
Again...
They've had their struggles.
It's cyclical. People love winning teams. That's...
Right.
There is no loyalty anymore. There is no loyalty. People, you're either winning... And you're popular or you're not, and people don't care.
And we don't want this to turn into a Blue Jays show, but no. I think I told you this already. They were giving away the George Bell powder blue replica jerseys. Okay, that's cool. Hopefully I'm there in time to get it, because I figured everyone had one. That's how little the attendance was. I saw a couple guys walking out with piles of these jerseys.
Really?
I'm like, oh, man.
That can't be cheap to produce. Like, that's...
Well, they must have done 15,000 of them at least. Because there was upwards of eight. I think they said there was supposed to be I think they announced something like 18,000-19,000 at that game, and everyone had one, and there was extras. So
announced, yes.
Anyway,
well, yeah. Like that's yeah, that seems like a very good promo.
Lions Eskimos. The Lions will win this Thursday if Jamie.
Well,
put you on the spot before we're out of here.
If you control the line of scrimmage, I mean,
it's always important, but extra important this time.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's yeah. You have to give your best players the opportunity to be their best players, and you know, I mean, as we said before, teams are built around quarterbacks. We've got to give Mike time to do what he wants to do, and I don't think there's anybody on the field who doesn't know that. So that's where it'll be won or lost.
It's the reason we have you in here for your hard-hitting football analysis. Yes,
that's right.
Awesome.
All right.
Glad we kick-started this up again. Again, the higher up said not till we win. So.
Well, I was hearing from my mom. So, Mom, miss you. I'm good to be back.
Hope the recovery's going good, Mom.
Yeah, I think she is
hip
probably,
replacement.
Yeah, 11 weeks or so out of hip replacement. So I think she's probably got about. She's probably still doing layups. Her jump shot was pretty good from about 12 feet. I don't think she's shooting from outside the arc yet, but layups. I'm sure she's doing that.
My dad had his done late April, and he walked the golf course the other day.
Holy cow. Isn't that crazy?
He walked 9 holes. So he can't play yet. Still can't do the...
Just think, for just a few moments there, your leg is not attached to the rest of your torso.
Oh, yeah. They got videos of how they do this thing. I'm sure you've...
Oh, yeah. It's very common now. I mean, nothing's common once they put you under, but let's face it. I mean, we do hip replacements like it's pulling teeth.
Yeah.
Crazy. All right.
First and Now is on the air, and we will talk next week.
Maybe.